After a short hiatus, the Intercounty Championship is back. 42 teams across both codes starting out with various ambitions for the year ahead. But just two will be left standing tall in 9 weeks' time.
David Coldrick lifts the ball and throws it in. Dublin on the attack straight away. Niall Scully gives it back. Dublin go for the juggler. This is James McCarthy. Are they in for a goal already? They are. Dean Rock in 13 seconds. What a start.
And Limerick have hit the 30-point mark in the All-Ireland final. Tom Morrissey gets the score in stoppage time. It's 30 points to 19. They're closing in All-Ireland glory now.
Yeah, coming up over the next 30 minutes, we look ahead to some of the big matchups of the opening weekend in the company of Keith Higgins and Shane Dowling. And we relive arguably the most iconic meeting of Waterford and Clare with 2004 hat-trick hero Dan Shanahan. Plus, on the week he was forced to bring the curtain down on his inter-county career, we'll be joined also by Cork's Kieran Sheehan. It's time for the championship. Now, we'll get straight into it with one of the big stories of the week.
Kieran Sheehan. That's a lovely looking kick and it's gone sailing over the bar. Kieran Sheehan, this prodigious talent, 19 years of age, brilliantly done.
Yeah, earlier this week, news broke that Kieran Sheehan, the 30-year-old All-Ireland winner, had confirmed the end of his time with Cork due to a persistent knee injury. The news came 11 years after he helped Cork win the 2010 All-Ireland title. 3 years on from that, he was signed by AFL club Carlton, where he made his pro debut and won Rookie of the Year in 2014. But having returned to Ireland, Cork's Rolls-Royce footballer, as described by his manager Ronan McCarthy, called time on his intercounty career just days ago. The man himself joins us on the line now. Kieran, we're all sorry to hear the news, and most importantly, how are you doing? Because it's been a tough week for you.
Hi, Damon. Firstly, thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, look, it's been a busy week. You know, in relation to, I suppose we won the county with our club in Aroge on Saturday, and look, I suppose I waited till that was done till I announced my intercounty retirement. It's been a massive journey, Damon. But look, it was an absolute honour, I suppose, to wear the red jersey of Cork, and you know, to be able to achieve what I achieved, I suppose, in a relatively short space of time. You know, I suppose I've met some great people and made some great friends along the way. So timing wise, you know, from weighing up all the stuff medically and the way my knee and body is at the moment, it just felt like the right decision.
Kieran, when did you know the time was right to move on?
It was a couple of weeks back. Like, as you probably know, I tore my meniscus in the first 5 minutes against Clare up in Ennis, and I had my fair share of tears in my meniscus over the years. And look, I suppose it was an innocuous incident. It was just me running. I suppose for something to happen like that, it was my knee almost telling me that, you know, it's time to have a serious think about this and how longer you can go on doing it. The scan revealed then that it was a case of the knee was bone on bone. And I suppose that has serious long-term repercussions, you know, if I kept going, I suppose. It was a few days after I got that scan result where I kind of realised how serious it really was. And I took a couple of weeks then to really kind of mull it over and, you know, have a chat with, you know, people that are close to me and, you know, Ronan McCarthy himself and a few other people. And that's how I came to the decision in the end.
Just in terms of the messages you would have got this week, do any in particular stand out, Kieran?
I've got a fair few and I've been blown away by them, to be honest, Damien. It's I've got messages from coaches at minor level. Mick Evans in particular was my first, I suppose, you know, when you play minor intercounty, it's your real first taste of playing football at a very high level. He was our manager at the time and he just sent me a lovely message, you know, just about me, my mum, you know, about family and how important it was. And I suppose a lot of the messages I got was more about me as a person than a footballer, which was really lovely to get. And and that's kind of where it all kind of comes back to, I think, you know, from my own perspective, that, you know, aside from the football aspect, that you can kind of hold yourself well, you know, and that's really important, you know, because that's, I'm a big person for, you know, making your own luck, and the people you meet are kind of the people that really springboard you into a position of, you know, success. And that's how I always felt, you know, being good back to my coaches, my peers, you know, you get your reward from it. And I was lucky enough to get some of that reward, you know.
Do you feel that maybe when you went down under, that was the start of your injury worries, or was there just maybe a stream of bad luck that hit you over a period of time from maybe 2014 onwards?
Yeah, look, I suppose the the move to Australia certainly didn't help the body. You know, I had my cruciate done back in 2011 with Cork in Munster final down in Clarny against Kerry, and that was the first real injury that I had, and I got back to like my knee. I've had no issues with my cruciate since, but I suppose the load on the body in Australia certainly took its toll. I do feel like the way the game's gone and the intensity of everything at the moment, that maybe if I'd done things a little differently rehab-wise, if I didn't kind of push my body to places that I probably didn't want to go, that, you know, I could have managed things a little bit better too. There's always like little areas that you feel like you could have been better on. And there's certainly some of them areas, both in my time with Cork in the early days and my time in Australia. But if I was to kind of think back too much on that, you know, I wouldn't be able to move forward the way I have, you know, as comfortable as I am now in my decision.
When you arrived back to these shores, Ciarán, what struck you most about the modern inter-county football game?
I just thought the athleticism of guys, you know, obviously I'd been keeping a close eye on it in Australia all the time, but I just thought that the pace of the game had just changed. You know, before I felt like, you know, it was almost a kick pass to, you know, you see a lot more 40-yard kick passes versus you're running the ball, you're hand passing, you're off the shoulder. Whereas now, you know, you've guys running the 40 yards rather than kicking the 40 yards. And look, that's the nature of the way the game has gone. You know, I suppose the likes of Kerry and that have kind of showed that it can be played still in an open kind of way as well. But I think that's something that teams probably need to be careful of, that, you know, the external noise at the moment is that, you know, the game's, you know, back to an open kind of football game. But I suppose that's where teams can trip up a small bit. I think defensively sound is your first point of call. And then you kind of build on that. But certainly the pace of the game was the big eye-opener for me.
Just when you come back then to kind of amateur versus professional setting, and I mean, I use the word amateur in the loosest sense because every GAA player gives it everything. But just to rehab and look after your injuries and not be a professional anymore, you've a young family, a little baby Eden, you're married, you've got a career, hopefully a long career ahead of you. Is it hard to get the rehab and recovery and fit it into your schedule?
Absolutely. That was a big factor. You know, you're working your 9-to-5 job and then you're into your prep from, you know, 5 o'clock to 10 p.m. at night, and you're coming home and you're not really seeing, you know, you're not really seeing the small fella only in the mornings before work. Like, and that's certainly a lot different to the professional lifestyle. You know, you've just so much time to, and so much, you know, time to put work into your body in relation to the rehab, recovery, things like that. And you can get to yourself to kind of a whole new level fitness wise. Now, players have, and Dublin, for example, have clearly managed to do that really, really well and got that balance right. But it is a huge, huge commitment. I suppose even I feel in particular when I look back at my career that, you know, guys that are in college now, for example, now, albeit COVID and all that over the last couple of years, but you really have to commit to not going out or not, you know, doing the things that you kind of normally do around college time, you know. It's a real sacrifice. If guys are willing to do it, it's just an amazing feeling, the reward you get from, you know, for example, that Kerry win last year, you know, down the park. It was just total reward for that sacrifice, you know. And they're the type of days you kind of live for, like, you know.
In terms of the future for Cork football and your own future, what would you like to see and what would you think might happen?
From a Cork perspective, look, I think there's an unbelievable group of lads there at the moment. And, you know, you just want to see Cork football just back at the top level, you know. I know people kind of say, you know, retaining our status at Division 2 is a big win for this team. I just think Cork football needs a seat at the top table again. And I think that's not far away, to be totally honest. From my own perspective, look, football's, you know, been everything for me, and hurling to a certain extent. I'd love to stay, you know, really close to it, and just keep an eye on things. And as I said to a group of lads there, the Cork group there at the moment, that if they ever needed anything from me or, you know, anything from my own side, I don't know if I could help a whole lot, but as I said, they all have my number, they know where I am, and I'd be happy to catch up for a coffee and whatnot from time to time. So I'm still absolutely invested in Cork football, and I will continue to be.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be idle for too long, Ciarán. We wish you well with everything, with your club, Aero, back in the top flight, with your family, and we'll speak to you again as the summer unfolds. Thanks so much for your time, Ciarán.
Thanks very much, Damien. Thanks for having me on.
We'll move on to hurling next, and ahead of Waterford and Cork meeting this weekend in the Munster Senior Championship, we'll turn the clock back to the clash between the sides in 2004. 6 years after making his debut, a 27-year-old Dan Shanahan went into that campaign having never scored a championship goal. By the end of the opening weekend, however, he would have three as Waterford demolished Clare in Thurles.
Yes, hello again and welcome. 1 week after the league final, the hurlers of Waterford are asked to play again with scarcely time to salve their sores. Their clash with Clare will test the thermostat.
The ball is gone into the back of the net and it's a goal for the Waterford men. Big Dan Mullan breaks the ball down. It's pumped inside. A chance for Dan. Dan has done it again. Dan Shanahan. Dan has got a third goal. 3:21 to 1:8. The game is over. Waterford have scored a sensational win over the very, very hot favourites Clare here at Semple Stadium before a crowd of 24,000 people.
And in fairness, Dan never looked back after that game. He went on to be named Hurler of the Year 3 years later after getting 8 goals in the 2007 Championship. And that summer was pivotal in a glittering career, which saw him retire with 3 All-Stars. Dan joins me now in his 28th season with Lismore, I think. You're still talking out, Dan.
Doing a small bit, Damien. It's not as fast as before, but still able to catch the ball.
Just looking back to 2004, then, it seems like an age away, but I remember you in full flow. Those games can make or break careers, can't they, Dan? You were 27 at that time. Just look what came after. Would you look back and say those games were make or break for your county at that time?
It was for me personally, Damien, as in the week before, we got a lesson off Galway in the league final, like, you know, and going into the Championship game the week after, we weren't given a chance against an awesome Clare team, if I'm being honest with you. As in, the Lowens, Daly was manager, Davey was in goal, James O'Connor was on the panel. The great players, Tony Carmody, Tony Griffin. So we were given no chance against them. But for me personally, it changed my career, Damien, that performance that day, the week before against Galway, and to continue it on the week after against Clare. Well, it was personally a great highlight for me. But for me personally, Damien, it was a team performance. I think it was the best team performance, or at least one of them, Waterford ever done.
What difference to your life did those games make, Dan, and the attention and the profile that you got?
Yeah, it definitely upped, Damien. I had a couple of good years with Gerald McCarthy, to his credit, and when he came in 99, 2000 there, and wasn't getting the goals, but clipping over 3 or 4 points a game. Didn't work out well for me to start with Justin, but I stuck with it, and Jerry Fitch came in 0-4, which is a big pivotal thing, Damien. He really got the strength and conditioning side of it, the motivation side of it, the mental side of it. And we started hurling brilliantly as a team. Jerry Fitz had a big part to play in that game, and so he has. And again, it did change. It did. You became, instead of, like, I suppose, the Ken McGraths, the Milans, all these lads were the higher name at the time. But when you start getting the goals and putting yourself out there, you're going to get that extra bit of attention. Like, you know, and look, and as you said there, like, you know, I'm kind of playing with passion on the field. When you get a goal, there's more relief and pleasure, for your family up in the stand than ever was myself and my teammates and that as well, like, you know. But no, they were fascinating years, Damien. I loved every bit of it.
Just in terms of Waterford versus Clare this weekend then, Dan, a Waterford team decimated by injuries but still quite confident against the Clare team that seems to have found its groove in recent weeks. How do you see that game going and the clash of styles there?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought Clare finished the league very, very well, as did Waterford, Damien, against Tipperary. I've said before that Waterford energy they brought to the Tipperary game in Welsh Park was unbelievable. I was doing commentary on radio, and to see the energy levels they had that day was phenomenal, because the minute the ball was thrown in, they won it. They went down the middle at Tip, like, you know, and it set the tone for the whole game. And on the flip side of it, I saw Clare scoring 4 goals against a good Kilkenny outfit. You know, a great Kilkenny outfit, which had been quoted. Brian Cody would have been quoted. He doesn't do challenge games, but he'd see the league games going up to Innes as better than any challenge game. So it's going to be interesting Sunday. Waterford missing 1, 3, 6, 9, 11 and probably 14.
That's the spine of the team.
In that I have Paddy Manny and Paddy Corn, who won't be available in 11 and 14. Jamie Barron is out. Conor Prunty and Ty Buck, and the biggest loss again is Stephen O'Keefe. Do you know, it's a phenomenal loss to Waterford. I do believe in the panel they have and they haven't been done about it. They just get on with it. The next man comes in, does the job. You know, it's going to be intriguing, and I think the game is 50-50, Dave, if I'm being honest with you, with the Waterford injuries. But Waterford have Shane Bennett back. He had a massive game the last day. On the flip side, Clare have Tony Kelly back. He was injured last year when they played Waterford. Shanagher's flying. They were under the Galvin's back. So it's going to be interesting, a very interesting game next Sunday.
just in terms then of the managers over each team, how much influence will they have? Because Brian Lohan and Liam Cahill would be quite similar, I think, in many ways. They're both pretty direct. They're both straight down the line. And I think they're both looking for honesty and work ethic and not interested in too many frills. Would you go along with that? And how much influence does a manager have over the modern day player?
Both managers will have done their homework, done on both oppositions. They'll have everything done for their players. The manager across that white line is up to the players to make their own decisions. Can they cut out that ball going through? They'll have to make split decisions that they mightn't be trained for. It's up to the individual. But again, the two massive men on the line, I'm a big admirer of Lohan, to be honest with you. Like, you know, the stuff he's gone through off the field in Clare and the way he's kept it going and kept it going. Got a bad start in the league. But again, stuck with John Conlon, centre back, for instance. And the last three games of the league, they were outstanding. You know, league and championship, as you know, Damien, are two different.
Yeah.
They're two different altogether. The one thing I see there, the last league games both teams played was very intensive, so it was kind of championship. But I can assure you, next Sunday when the ball is thrown in, Damien, that there'll be stuff that going on that wouldn't be going on in league games, like, you know, within the law.
you have to
do it, Damien, that, because no one wants to lose next Sunday and go 2 weeks. And whoever wins next Sunday, let's not forget, Damien, you must go out a week later, which is very, very unfair on my own personal view, because 6 days to recover to play Tipperary, it's going to be hard on players and management to see who'll win.
Yeah, it's all on the line, Dan, evenly poised. Thanks so much for your chat. Thanks so much for your thoughts, and we'll talk again to you later in the summer, Dan.
Damien, pleasure. Thanks very much.
Now, each week we'll take an in-depth analytical look at key games, matchups and tactics of the weekend ahead. Joining us all summer long at the Tactics Board are All-Ireland winner and All-Star Shane Dowling and Keith Higgins, who made 70 championship appearances for Mayo, winning 8 Connacht titles, 4 All-Stars and a Young Footballer of the Year award. Gentlemen, you're both very welcome. Keith, I'll come to you first of all. How has football evolved since you retired?
I'm not gone that long, so I don't know if it's changed a huge amount in the 6 months or so, but I think the one thing we've seen from the league so far is there appears to be a bit more of an attacking style. Teams seem to be kind of, our coaches or managers, whatever way you want to put it, seem to be coming around to the idea of, you know, attack is nearly the best form of defence at times, and really going out to try and put up big scores. So look, whether we'll see that trend continue throughout the championship, you'd hope so. I suppose I might be a small bit naive to think that we will. I think sometimes come knockout championship teams might revert to type a bit more, might be a bit more apprehensive about it. So, you know, I think even looking at the Derry Offaly game there at the weekend, like Derry putting up 21 points, something like that, you know, it's a big score to be putting up. So the trend like that will continue and that we'll see a bit more open football. But, you know, will teams really be that more adventurous when it comes to a knockout championship? You'd like to think so, but may not always be the case, I'm afraid.
Shane, the reason I asked Keith about the retirement in football in such a short space of time, the evolution we're seeing, is that it looks to be wide, wide open. Hurling, even since you've left, Shane, seems to have gone in the opposite direction. It's got to be quite robotic and mechanical. Would you go along with that, or am I talking nonsense?
I don't think you're talking nonsense, Damien, but I definitely think there's been a huge overreaction this year. And like, I'm retired 2 years now, I don't think the game has changed at all. And I mean, Limerick are the flag bearers. And I suppose, you know, I was looking up to my second last year, I suppose we were All-Ireland champions and then got to an All-Ireland semi-final versus Kilkenny. And I think nothing has changed at all. Like, you know, there's huge debates going on at the minute about the weight of the slitters and the amount of point scoring. But that was the same in the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And I think, to be fair, because no one has had anything to talk about for such a long time and maybe people were withholding their opinions for so long that there's just been an avalanche of discussion about it. But I mean, I look at the games, I look at the teams now, and everything, most teams are playing the same way, Damien. They're all trying to work the ball into the middle of the field and deliver the ball to the inside forward line. But because at times, if they do get that bit of space, the shot is on because the most skillful players, you know, are there. And obviously, you know, it's, as has been well discussed, the equipment that players are using now, as they call it, like the hurlies are much better than they were maybe 20 years ago and all that. But I don't think it's changed a huge amount. And I think once, you know, one discussion that hasn't been talked overly about is a return of the crowds. And, you know, while I suppose the Limerick Cork game is going to have 5,000 fans there, hopefully towards the end of the summer, there'll be a lot more than that. And you can be damn sure that, you know, the intensity of everything is going to rise when the fans are back. And I think it's just going to be the same way as it was a couple of years ago. So in short, in my opinion, I don't think the game has changed at all in the last good number of years.
Okay, very definite answer there. Keith, I know you're out with the Mayo Hurlers this weekend. You're captain of your county again, and fair play to you for taking that on. Just in terms of the other games, there's 10 major, I suppose, senior championship games on this weekend. Anything catch your eye? Any matchups or tactics or actual games take your fancy, Keith?
Yeah, I suppose, look, it's a decent weekend to start things off. I suppose, look, from a Mayo point of view, you know, to be very biased to start off with, I'm just kind of very interested to see where Mayo are at this weekend against Sligo, even though I'm not sure we'll get a huge insight into it. But, you know, I suppose with the loss of Killian, it's just interesting to see how that forward line will shape up, I think, on Saturday evening. Apart from that, then, again, I suppose you're looking at kind of Kerry Clare. I mean, again, all the talk so far has been Kerry are probably the team that'll can or maybe the best team equipped to stop Dublin. So again, you're just kind of interested to see whether they'll come out of the blocks all guns firing. Apart from that, I suppose, look, the kind of the two that really jumped out at me, I suppose, when the draw was made first, was the first one was Down Donegal. I think it was one that you were kind of hoping that Down would be in a position where they could really challenge Donegal. You know, they'd come out and they might try something different, or, you know, try a new, I suppose, style. Going by what we've seen in the league, it's not going to happen, but, you know, it could typically be your kind of normal Ulster type affair, very tactical, very cagey. But that one would be interesting to see, especially with Donegal, you know, the few lads back, whether Michael Murphy will get a bit of game time. And finally, then, I think even just the Offaly Louth game is kind of very intriguing. I mean, both teams kind of promotion from Division 3 and Division 4. Like, if you'd talked about this last week, you said Offaly were probably in prime position to win that one, but
Louder
after the beating they got at the weekend, you just don't know whether that's kind of taken the momentum out of them. And I suppose, look, the two managers there as well obviously add a bit of headline to it. So for me, they're the kind of four games I'd be really keeping an eye on, to be honest. But again, I suppose the Down Donegal was the one that jumped out at me straight away. But again, I can't see anything but a Donegal win there.
Before I switch to Shane Key, just a quick line on Mayo without Killian. How is that going to be? I know you're a resilient bunch of guys up there, but a big, big hammer blow.
Massive, yeah. I don't think he can really kind of put into words, I suppose, how much he brings to that team, not just from his scoring point of view, which has been outrageous over the last number of years, you know, but just as a leader in that forward line, the way he sets everything up, sets the tone for things. You know, he probably gets a bit of unfair criticism at time, I think, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you just look at it from a simple numbers point of view. The numbers he puts up every year, you know, where are they going to replace that? I mean, people say a lot of it might be from freeze, but I mean, his consistency rate from freeze alone has been, it's been ridiculous. So that's kind of why I mentioned the Mayo game there, just to see how that forward line is moving. I mean, you know, you're going to be putting a lot of pressure on the likes of Tommy Conroy in the second season, Ryan O'Donoghue. I think they really need the likes of Aidan and Kevin McLaughlin to step up. So interesting to see, but yeah, it's going to be a huge loss for them.
Okay, Shane, what catches your eye this weekend?
Yeah, and I suppose, to be fair, Damon, there isn't a whole pile to choose from, is there? Like, obviously, the key game in Munster this weekend is Clare versus Waterford in the Munster quarter-final. But I just think, actually, if we go up to Leinster, like, and you look at Dublin versus Antrim, and, like, obviously, the eyes will be drawn to the Munster side of it. But for me, and I actually thought Don Logue made a good point this morning, and he said, actually, what could come against Antrim is that now people are nearly expecting them to overturn Dublin. Like, before every game they played in the league, you know, people were underdogs, and, you know, people were saying, well, they can't keep going, or they can't keep it up, or whatever, but they have been. And now there's nearly an expectation that Antrim could rattle the Dubs, and I'm a firm believer in that as well. I mean, like, I don't see any reason why they can't. I know Dublin beat them in the league, but Dublin haven't been fantastic in the league. They haven't been fantastic in a couple of years. Antrim, I won't say they're up and coming, but they've had a very, very solid year and a half. And, you know, they will definitely be looking at that game. It's on in Navan too, Damon, of all places. With the greatest respect to Navan, like, you know, I don't think there's been too many big championship games on there. Like, so, you know, Darren Gleeson has these boys, you know, going in a, they're going fairly well, like, and they've got, and the other side of it too, Damon, is they've actually got some very good players. And I think sometimes that kind of gets brushed to the side as well. Like, obviously everybody knows about Neil McManus and what he can do. But I mean, you go through the whole team, like Kieran Clark and Conal Cunning up top are, you know, they're goal scorers, they're scorers in general. And then, you know, you go back to field, Vaughan Campbell, Keelan Malloy, who've been very, very good all through the league as well. So that's definitely a game for me that I'm going to be most interested over the weekend. again, because I think that a big scalp could come here for Antrim if they can progress a small bit more than they have done in the league. You'd obviously expect Wexford to beat Laois. Like, Wexford haven't been firing, you know, but I suppose neither have Laois. But, you know, at the end of the day, you'd imagine that Wexford are going to beat Laois. And then, as I said earlier on, like, you've the Clare and Waterford game. And I think, you know, I wouldn't have fancied Clare at the start of the year. I just thought there was too much nonsense going on down there and too much talk. But to be fair to the players, you know, they've obviously been able to blank that somewhat, and they've just concentrated on the things that matter the most. Obviously, losing Shane O'Donnell during the week because he still is suffering from concussion earlier a number of weeks ago is a huge blow. But on the other hand, then you look at Waterford. I mean, they're sweating on Conor Prunty and Jamie Barron, and I don't know how fit Austin Gleeson is either. So, you know, there's a lot of big names going to be missing, and that's without obviously Tadhg De Burca, who's still recovering from his second cruciate. So you know, they're the obviously the three games the weekend, and I the one, as I said, I'm going to be most interested in is the Antrim game, to see can they overturn the Dubs.
Alright, Shane, that's fascinating. Keith, final word to you then. Just without going through all the games, can you see a shock coming anywhere? You kind of hinted it awfully loud. You know, Wicklow are playing Wexford, chance of a shock there if it is a shock. Carlow and Longford there as well. Final word to you, Keith.
Yeah, look, I suppose you'd love to be able to sit, pick out maybe a couple of games there where there will be, but yeah, you know, looking at all the games there, it is very hard to see. I mean, you know, you look at the Wicklow-Wexford game there, Wicklow obviously having a big win against Cavan there a couple of weeks ago in the league. You know, you'd hope there's a bit of momentum coming there, but yeah, look, first round of the championship, you know, it's hard to see Antrim coming there. You'd have to be going with the favourites in all of them, I'm afraid. You know, as much and all as we'd like to see an upset or two along the way, it's hard to see, to be quite honest, Damien.
Okay, gentlemen, Keith and Shane, thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you both next weekend.
Thanks, Damien.
Cheers, Damien.
My thanks to all our guests, to producer Damien O'Mara and Dave Gibson, our sound engineer. From myself, Damien Lawler, until next weekend, take care.